Good to be in the house today. Amen. Trace, it occurs to me I did not give you a scripture, so if you could get 1 Kings 17, 10 through 14, please, when you get a minute. All right, we're going to see where this goes this morning. I always find it interesting. I can do prep, and it always changes once I start walking around up here. So let's see what the Lord has. Amen. Brent, I'm going to start, actually. I apologize. I should have called you back yesterday. I'll talk to you after service, okay? Okay. One quick announcement. I would like... I would like my greeters to hang around after church today. We've been getting, the elder group has getting bumped by Apostle, and I might talk about this a little bit later in the message here, but Apostle has kind of been bumping the elder group to get our groups going, our columns or pillars, whatever we're talking about, or whatever term that we're using. So part of this is I would like my greeters to kind of hang out after church, and we're going to have a little meeting. So Matt, Mark, Lori, and then we'll go from there. Another quick note, I just want to say thank you to everyone that came out yesterday, came with us over to Kensington. We know that there was other stuff going on, other obligations. So if you couldn't be there, we understand it, but we just really, really appreciate the support. I can't tell you how much it means to us as a group when we are going. I'm going to say this, and I don't want you to take offense to it. When we are going into a, you know, a quote-unquote hostile environment, meaning that we don't know what we're getting into, and so to have that support there, it's very uplifting. So thank you for those that were there. I want to talk about assignments today. I want to talk about assignments. We are all in agreement that God has a plan for each and every one of us, right? Talk to me. Okay, thank you. So we're all in agreement. So if we are to believe that God has things for us to do, then we can also believe that Satan would not want us to accomplish those, correct? Yeah. Dugan, stop. It's the tone. It's not what you said, it's how you said it, Dugan.
I didn't say without tone.
All right, come on. So we can look at, I mean, a classic example is going to be Jesus, you know, out in the desert. Satan shows up and is there trying to tempt him, trying to get him to walk away, walk outside of God's plan. Yes, you guys are familiar with this story? Okay. I have a couple different stories I want to talk about today. My intention with this is purposely not to make it a guilt trip. So understand where my heart is here. I just really feel like this is what the Lord is telling me that needs to be shared in the house. So, but before we get to that part, I got two stories I want to share first. Has anybody ever heard of a Scottish guy by the name of Dr. Livingstone? Livingstone. You guys know him? Anybody ever heard of him before? Yes, no? Few of you? Okay. For those of you that don't know this guy, he is a very famous Scottish explorer. Okay, spent a lot of time navigating through Africa. He's the guy that found the Victorian Falls and named them after Queen Victoria. He was a guy that he was a Christian. He was an avid evangelist. In his travels, as he's going through Africa, he would try to bring the gospel to the local tribes. Okay? Yes, some of you are familiar with the story. He started out, I don't want to say this, when he was a kid, he was in his home church, and he worked, or he would help the organist every Sunday. So there was one Sunday where a missionary came into their church, and when the missionary showed up, the missionary was from Africa, and he was there to kind of gin up support. And as he was looking around the congregation, the missionary thought to himself, I don't know if I should share this message because, you know, there's a lot of young kids in here and there's a lot of older folks. These are not the demographic that we need for missionaries traveling through the continent of Africa. However, he listened to the Lord, still gave the message, finished his message with, who will go? Who will go? Nobody said anything except for, at the time, Dr. Livingston, he's a kid, who raises his hand and says, I will go. Send me. And there's a lot I could say about that. We could talk about, you know, out of the mouths of babes. We could talk about coming to the Lord as a child, right? I mean, there's some things in there. But what's really interesting is you fast forward in Dr. Livingston's career, and he's navigating through the continent, the heart of Africa. He gets to a point where he is trying to evangelize this certain tribe. And as he is trying to evangelize the tribe, he upsets the leader of the group. And the chief basically comes to him and says, we know where you're living. We're going to come and kill you tonight. You guys heard this story? In Dr. Livingston's writing, because he kept an avid journal, there is a moment where he starts to despair. He's writing in his journal and he's saying, Lord, I have done everything that you have asked me to do. I have walked the ground. I have shared the gospel. Are you really going to let them kill me? But he doesn't run. He doesn't flee. Okay? The night passes. Nothing happens. Fast forward, he eventually ends up bringing the chief of this tribe, converts him to Christianity. The tribe gets, it spreads through the tribe. And at one point in time, Dr. Livingston talks to the chief and he says, you said you were going to come kill us. Why didn't you? And he said, we did. However, when we got to your house, there was X amount, I don't remember what the number is, 39, I think. He says there was 39 large warriors surrounding your house. We couldn't get anywhere near it, even if we wanted to. Pretty cool, right? Doesn't stop there. Dr. Livingston goes back to his home church years later, and he's recounting this story. And one of the elders or secretary, somebody from the home church says, do you remember the date that that happened? And he took journals, so he has this record. And so he gets out his journal, and it's whatever date it is, and the secretary says, hang on a minute. So they were doing a prayer meeting at the same time, at the same night where he was going to have this experience, where these guys, the chief had said he was going to come kill him. And there was 39 people in the church praying for him that night. Pretty cool?
Wow.
Nothing. You guys are dead today. Come on. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty cool. Okay, so that's story number one. Story number two, and Trace, if you can bring up 1 Kings 17, please. I'm probably going to slaughter this name, so just forgive me. So this is the story of Elijah. There's a drought going on, and Elijah goes to whatever town this is. So he arose and went to, I'm going to slaughter that, Zarephath? Is that close? Can we? And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, there was a widow woman, was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And again, you guys know me. I like to put myself in the scripture. So I'm going to ask you to kind of follow me on this. So there's a drought going on for however long. Obviously, drought affects our food supply, affects the water. And Elijah shows up in this town, a complete stranger, and he goes up to this woman and says, "Hey, I know you don't have much, but give some of it to me." And the woman's response is, what? "I am going to eat it with my son, and we are going to die." Does that sound a little bit like despair? Does that sound a little bit like hopelessness? You guys ever been there before? Going to eat it and die. But Elijah says to her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Now, if you guys know this story, you know that his word is true. She ends up with overflowing amounts of food, right? Did she have a choice still? Yes, she did. In her moment of despair, she still has a choice. Similar to Dr. Livingston, right? When he's sitting there in his cottage, and he has that moment of, "These guys are going to come kill me. What am I supposed to do?" He still has a choice. We have a choice. Regardless of what is facing us, we have a choice with how we are going to respond to it. This is part of the reason why I love Matt's testimony today, because it is easy for us when we face sorrow or grief to fall into despair. Amen? But if we start to change how we look at situations, we change it how we look at our lives, we start to look at things through heaven's eyes, and then we can have impact on our circumstances in our surroundings. Amen? Now, despair, that hopelessness feeling, that's where Satan wants us. Because when we are hopeless, we become ineffective. Right? Scripture says, always give a defense for the hope that lies within us, within you. For the hope that lies within you. Which means we should never, regardless of the situation, we should never be in a position of hopelessness. Amen? Amen? Thank you. Now, I want to read. I've got some. Trace, don't worry about trying to get all these. I'm just going to read these real quick because I wanted just a brief snippet, like when we are struggling with despair, when we are struggling with hopelessness, what does the Bible say? So I'm just going to read off a couple scriptures just very fast. Psalms 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage." Wait for the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9 says, "We are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, not struck down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 says, "Therefore do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Amen? So we have Scripture that shows us what we're supposed to do when Satan wants to come at us with this despair and hopelessness. The second thing that I'm going to ask you to do, and this is where I want to talk about assignments. Specifically, I want to talk about assignments, great and small. When I tell you those stories, when we talk about Dr. Livingston, we talk about, you know, the elders in his church, or we talk about Elijah, or we talk about the widow. When you hear those stories, who do you identify with? I have been guilty of this in the past. I always want to identify with the hero. Right? I want to identify with the guy that's going to make the most change. There have been times that, and the Lord has been checking me on this over the last couple months, it's not always about being the big baller in the room. I want you to think about that. Not everybody is an Esther. Not everybody is an Elijah. Not everyone is a Dr. Livingston. However, those people cannot do their jobs if the people that are supporting them aren't doing theirs. Are you with me this morning? I don't know what happens, right? I can't speak to it. But what happens if those people aren't praying for Dr. Livingston at that moment? What happens to Elijah if the widow woman is not willing to give what little she has? What happens? And now this is where I'm going to turn it. And again, this is not meant to be a guilt trip, but we're talking about abiding. We're talking about everyone will know, but we are not fulfilling assignments, small assignments in the house. Part of this is on leadership. It has been a rough year, right? Apostle in particular lost his dad earlier this year. He's been to Africa a whole bunch. So he has been out of the house, and our leadership, self-included, have not stepped up to keep pushing the mantle. And as such, we look around the house, and there are things missing. There are little jobs that are not being done. But yet at the same point in time, we want to pray, and we want to ask the Lord to move mightily on our behalf when we are not taking care of the little things. We're going to try to do a healing service in September. Feeling like we're supposed to do it? Who has volunteered to help out? Who has volunteered to help the greeters? Who has volunteered to help with the Sunday, with the kids' church downstairs, the soundboard, Bible study on Wednesday night? There are things that are going on in the house that are not being, what's the word I'm looking for here? Fulfilled. And we have this expectation, and God has been good. Amen? I mean, come on, He has been good to us. He has been far and above better than what we deserve. He always has been. But if we want to get to a place of abiding, then it has to be evident through all layers of the house. Amen? So my challenge to you today is, where do you fit? Where do you fit? You know, I could talk about Stephen in the book of Acts. That's easy. Right? Stephen was a guy who waited tables, correct? He took care of people, just waiting on tables, and the Lord moved through him. You know, yesterday when we were over at Kensington, it was kind of a rough start. It wasn't what we were expecting. Again, God was good. God showed up. But we had some technical difficulties. And, you know, we were kind of downloading afterward. And the Lord kind of dropped something in me. See, before we even went up to play, we got into the room and we were kind of taking stock of the area and where we were going to be and, you know, what equipment we had to use. And as we're kind of getting acclimated, one of the local pastors comes over and we start talking. And he said something that just hurt, it broke my heart. But he said, "I'm leading a broken church." And so we got together and we prayed over him. You know, and then we started talking with him, and then he says, "Well, hey, you know, can I meet your senior pastor?" And so we go through our set, and it's kind of a rough set, but God shows up, and, you know, afterwards I'm thinking, it really wasn't about the music yesterday. It was about that conversation with that guy. The music was just to get us there. But again, we have a choice in that moment. You know, we had a choice. We could have went, that's too bad, and, you know, whatever. But trying to be present in that moment, trying to recognize that we had an assignment as soon as we walked in there, not knowing exactly what it was, but being opened to the possibility that it could have been anything. Right? So my challenge to you, I was kind of harping on the house, but not just the house. I want you guys to analyze your lives, analyze your day-to-day. Are you waking up? You know, Apostle talks about waking up and saying hello to the Holy Spirit and asking, what are we going to do today? And being in tune with what He wants from you. If you're not doing that, start it. I would implore you to start it. And then I would implore you to challenge yourself to a greater capacity, not just in your own lives, but inside the house as well. I'm going to pick on Charlie here for a minute. So every night, is that okay if I pick on you? I didn't think you care. So, So periodically on, you know, we have practice on Wednesday nights, but periodically I kind of do a state of the state where we get together, all of us, and we just kind of talk. And we see where we're at spiritually, what we're struggling with, where we're at. And, you know, Charlie said something because there was a while back where I was kind of farming out the set list on Sundays and allow each person from the worship team to kind of pick the set, you know, because it's forcing them to, you know, stay tuned in to what the Lord is doing so that you're ready come Sunday morning. And Charlie says, you know, I really like it because of that very reason. It forces us to be tuned in. And so then in my heart, I'm thinking to myself, why does it take that? Why does it take somebody being behind you to poke you and prod you? I get it. You know, I've been there. There's moments I'm still there. So this is not me calling accusation on everybody, but why don't we just try to stay tuned in? And I get it, life is hard. Things happen, circumstances happen. But in the middle of all of that, God is saying, I have things for you to do, and I need you to stay close to me so that you don't miss it. Amen? Amen? So that would be my ask for you, church. Spend some time. Start analyzing your own life, your own circumstances. If you know you've missed an assignment, I'm going to tell you, go ask for forgiveness for it. Spend some time with the Lord. Clear that up. God has things that He wants to do in this house. Our word, I don't know how many years ago it was, our word was what? We are a strike force. Strike force. Now, I don't know if that ever means we're going to give it above 70 people. Not really worried about it. A strike force, I mean, when you get a picture of a strike force, you know, you think about those Army, those Navy SEAL guys who are all decked up, they've got their weapons, they're going in. There's preparation that has to happen before they can hit the ground. And if you are not daily spending time with the Father, doing that internal preparation, you're going to miss it. Thursday, I had such a rough day at work. It was stupid. It was just stupid. I've got four guys that know how to do one job, one particular job, and three of them called in. So I ended up doing, I think, a 15, 16-hour day, something like that. And I had a moment. I was sitting in my office, and I was just sitting here doing this. And somebody asked me, and I said, I am finding my hope for the day. And once I made that decision, I had, even though it was a long day, I had one of the best days at work I think I've ever had. You know, I came home, and I was, you can attest to it, I was great. Kids didn't bother me. Like, it was great, you know what I mean? Like, it was just flowing out of me. But it came from that moment where I'm checking in here and saying, regardless of my situation, I'm not going to despair about this. And on a side note, on that day, I backed up a 53-foot trailer. Adam likes to make fun of me because I can't back up trailers to save my life. But I got. I digress. Are you guys with me this morning? Are you with me? Okay. We're going to start really pushing this fivefold stuff and finding your spot in the house and finding that job that you're supposed to be doing. And I got to tell you, I want to encourage you, even if Even if it's not right, say, hey, I'm going to go try to do this. Even if it's not right, at least you're trying something. You're moving, right? You're moving. I'm going to have the worship team come back up. Can we do out, Danielle, can we do outnumbered again, please? You got something? Okay, go for it.
For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth the rain upon the earth. Whatever we step out in faith doing for the Lord, what he has called us to do, the barrel of meal shall not waste. The oil shall not fail until he sends the rain. And Joel even brought up about the military and the guys going ahead, the SEALs going in ahead. It's never a big team. It's not a platoon. It's 10 or less usually. They got guys in the background that's the platoon, but they're not on the scene. And what did they have to do before they go out? They're prepared. They're exercised. They're fit for battle. They're trained. And they have done what with the team they're going in with? They have abided with that team. They are saturated in the knowledge that if I fail, these 9 other men fail too. If I fail, they have my back. And we're going to keep going. And that's all God asks for us to do. We may try and fail. He just asked us to keep going because we have other people behind us that are watching us that have to grow up with us. It sounds simple. But I will attest. 2 weeks ago, I took a trip. I had to go down for the second time in a week to Bridgeport, pick up the football team, take them to practice, and then after their practice, pick them up again and bring them home. I'd already taken them down there and dropped them off 2 days before. I didn't know what was planned for the day. I took my chair, my tanning oil, and my blanket. I parked, and God put a book on my heart, and I started reading that book. I had my pen, my paper, my notebook, my highlighters, my little sticky notes, my tabs, everything. I sat down to read that book. I kid you not, it was 99 degrees down there, and I forgot what I was doing. I did not pick up a pen. I did not pick up a sticky note. And anybody that knows me knows that I highlight, I underline, I sticky note so I can remember where it is in the book. I was so engrossed in this book that God wanted me to read. I did none of that. I'd sweat dripping on the page. And it reminds me of what Joel said about being prepared. Because until that moment, I didn't realize I wasn't preparing ahead. I didn't. Until I started reading that book, even to the point, I've been at it for 5 hours. And all of a sudden, I get in the best part of the book, right? It's on prophecy. That's the best part for me. And all of a sudden, I can't understand it anymore. I can't do it. I'm not comprehending. I'm not taking it in. I'm distracted. So I'm like, all right, Lord, I must need a break. So I'm going to get some water. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to come back. And then I'll get back to it. Well, I went to the bathroom. I came back, and they called me and said, hey, we're ready to go. So God kept me in that book in the moment and ready. And I had a conversation with him every minute of the bus ride back home. 4.5 hours. We talked back and forth like I would talk back and forth with Jesse. We just exchanged words, and he told me why, and he told me how, because I asked him. And from my last baptism, which God changed me, I can't even explain it. I just know he did. Until that moment of getting into that book, I realized that I'm not doing my daily reading. I'm not doing my daily talk with him. I do now get out of bed and say, hey, what are we doing today? And if I don't, halfway through the day, I know it. And I have to stop and say, all right, I started this without you, but I can't finish it without you. I can't even continue without you, because look at the mess I already made of it. So if you can help me to set this right and we can continue on, let's do it. And he always shows up. It's knowing who you are, what you are, and what you're called to do. We're called to listen to him and do what he says. And he will bless it every time. If you need prayer today on getting your reading in, your prayer time, asking him to go with you, just that unction to always, always take him with you, I ask you to come up. If you want prayer over you, we will do that. And just a renewing of knowing that you got to be read up and fed up to be able to carry him out to the people that need him. Just come on up for prayer. We are praying house, and we will pray over you. Team, your team needs you. They need a prayed up man, because everybody in this house knows that Jesus been kicked out to the school. That doesn't mean you can't show up as a man of God. I met a man of God from Central on that trip. And the line he towed in the sand for his boys made him different men. Respectful men that I've never seen out of a football team out of Central. They need a God man, and you will bring that to them. Stay prayed up, focused, and ready, because they will come to you.